Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. I have another short for you today, and our good friend Paul Seidenzahl is again with us to talk about the possibility of making a futures bet on the Ravens this year. We've seen the odds a little. The Ravens are a favorite to win the Super Bowl, along with Philadelphia again, Kansas City and Buffalo, close second, or you know, third and fourth, respectively. But Paul, how you doing?
Doing great, Ken.
So you approached me about this idea about whether or not it'd be a good idea to make a futures bet. And actually a lot has changed very recently about that. But take us through your thought process in terms of why you think the Ravens would be a good bet this year.
Well, I mean, just kind of going back to our previous conversations, just the strength of this team overall, and with them kind of being at that strength the past 2 years and not getting it done, going into another year, you know, I was just trying to figure out if there was any maybe value there in them not having won it the past few years, going to a third year. I mean, we've kind of seen this movie before where they've kind of gotten close and then finally cashed in, you know, the last time around. So I was just wondering, you know, you're the big math and odds guy, wondering if there was any value, because typically I wouldn't make a futures bet of this nature that I'm talking about size-wise, but I just feel like there might be some other factors that maybe give me a little more value than I would typically be getting.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's fair. So maybe the public hasn't bought into the Ravens as a Super Bowl contender because they've got all the jet lag or playoff lag from the Ravens' past performances, and they're not really considering how great this Ravens team has been for 2 years. We just had a show on injury luck that we recorded. It's something that the Ravens have actually been quite lucky with injuries the last 2 years. So it's hopefully something that won't bite them this year. In terms of what's going on. But certainly there isn't anything about the quality of the roster that did not make the Ravens good enough to win the Super Bowl in either of the last 2 years.
Exactly. I mean, they've clearly been one of the best teams the last 2 years running, and barring major injury, you know, to a huge part of the team, they should be right back there again. So, again, barring that injury, of course, because that always is an X factor. And like you said, we have been pretty lucky with injuries the past 2 years. So,
obviously the first bit of good luck is not getting Lamar Jackson injured. But let's talk about some other factors that there are there. Obviously, you know, Lamar is very baked into the kind of number you expect to get on the Ravens. Take us through the thought process of you see a line like 7-1, or you see it as plus 700, 7-1. If it's in decimal odds, it'll look like an 8 because you bet one and it's like a horse racing number. You go to the window with your $1 ticket, you get $8 after the race kind of thing.
Right. When I see 7-1, for reference, last year they were 10-1. And last year there was kind of two good teams in Kansas City and the 49ers, then a kind of a gap. This year, there's five strong teams basically surrounding them at the top with fairly close odds. And again, just going back to the strength of this team, kind of where they're at, where all their players are at, the mix of youth with the veteran presence included. In my mind, I'm like, if we simulated this season seven times over, what are the chances that they might pull out one of them at least? And I kind of feel like it's pretty good. It's obviously, like you said, there's a million things that could go wrong, but I just feel like this position with this team at this time is probably as good of a position as any in recent memory.
I wouldn't disagree with that. It's clearly a great football team. And it just goes to show you how fragile things are in the NFL that, you know, the you work out the odds even after you get an implied component to this, and you come up with the Ravens. I'll get into this a little later, with like an 11.5% chance to win the Super Bowl. And if it just shows you how fragile things are, that even a team that has far and away the best roster is only about what, 3.5 times better than an average team would be in terms of their chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. When you put it in those terms, it really kind of puts it in perspective of just how hard it is to go all the way and to complete the task. And that's why, you know, a lot of teams get a lot of criticism, especially this one, for not getting it done in the playoffs, but it's hard. I mean, it is hard to run that gauntlet and wade through all the injuries, all the luck, all this, all that. It is just extremely tough. So when you do get it done, you know you've really accomplished something.
Some of the other factors you looked at in terms of this is a better Ravens team, what else you got for us?
I mean, I think our depth is better than last year in some spots. Also, if you remember last year, Derrick Henry's first games, he kind of got off to a slow start. So that was one thing I was thinking of. I suspect that probably won't be the case this year. And we lost those first two games last year, which probably cost us the one seed, if we're being honest. So I just feel like this team is better positioned to kind of hit the ground running, you know, no pun intended, but and kind of just kind of pick up where they left off, than even going from 2023 to 2024.
Now, just to push back slightly on that, you and I just did a show on the Derrick Henry contract. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we did was talk about what's the percentage chance that he essentially duplicates that season. We both said it's almost nothing. So we could talk about a slow start and whatnot, but you can't just replace those first two games and expect, oh, well, now he should run for 2,200 yards because he was, you know, he missed out on 200 yards total in those first two games.
Well, I think let's get off of the production, so to speak. I think the fear factor,
okay,
just from other teams, you know what I mean? I don't think it was quite there in game one of last year, game two, like it has been, or like it will be, you know, coming into this year. I think teams are going to be legit fearful of that combination now, once they've seen what it can do and what the potential is. And I'm sure the Ravens are going to add some new wrinkles in here and there, you know what I mean, to kind of step up that game. So that's kind of my only thing on that front.
Well, very valid. I think also, you know, the effect we saw from the difference between 2019 and 2020 for Lamar was one where the teams in the division, not only did they prepare better for Lamar, but they also drafted for Lamar and they made other personnel choices for Lamar. Immediately his effectiveness was reduced. Now, you know, he wasn't going to likely duplicate an MVP season, but if you listen to a lot of analysts, and Aaron Schatz in particular, he'll tell you that Derrick Henry just had the greatest season of any running back this century. And asking him to repeat that, you know, past the age of 30 now, is one of the tallest orders I can imagine. And we'll be indeed fortunate if the waiter does not spit in the food as when they bring it to us and that thing, because, you know, if he got injured, obviously the result is going to be significantly worse, but there isn't anywhere to go north of where he was this last season.
Right. But if we just shift off the running game into the passing game, I think the passing game has evolved to another level as well. You know, Bateman coming into last year was not in the position he is in this year. Zay Flowers with another year under his belt, likely with another year of maturity under his belt. Andrews is still here. So I think even if we go off the running game into the passing game, you might be able to look at some factors there that might even be improved over last year, which was an insanely efficient game as it was.
Okay, well, fair enough. And I think that the point on depth is also well taken, that while I think the Ravens have a couple of depth issues still addressed, at safety in particular, you could say an inside linebacker as well. It's not a great inside linebacker group. I could maybe say even on the defensive line at nose tackle is another place where I'm a little concerned with the Ravens depth. And a lot of people would say at guard, or just finding that additional offensive lineman who's of the quality that you'd really like to carry into the season. But all of those things I just named, they're first world problems. Okay. The third world, the Cleveland Browns, the rest of the division, the rest of the NFL for that matter, has some very significant Swiss cheesy holes in their roster, even right now. And those get exposed as depth erodes and the season moves on. So, what problems the Ravens have are relatively minor compared to other teams.
Yeah, it's very hard in the salary cap NFL to not have many positions where not just a couple injuries, but just one mm-hmm. will really put you back. And I feel like the Ravens have so many positions where they can even absorb, you know what I mean, an injury, singular. Per se. And of course it will hurt them, but they can still kind of manage with all the other depth and talent surrounding it.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that they're in a better position to do so than a lot of teams. And we've certainly seen that happen. Injury luck is not uniform across the league. So someone will be running around the league with the horseshoes up their ass for half a season, not having any injuries. In fact, that's something I've often heard that comment made, that specifically phrase used by Steelers fans talking about the Ravens when they're having a healthy year, saying, you know, how long are they going to have the horseshoes up their ass kind of thing in terms of not getting injured? But there will be some team, you know, if the Ravens have average injury luck, there will be some team who has outstanding injury luck and is in a good position to beat them. In fact, I've often said, if you're the worst team in the entire NFL and you can be guaranteed no injuries for the entire year, you still got a pretty good chance to win the Super Bowl. And it's just, that's the nature of the game. Is so much, talent is eroded, is taken away during the course of a season.
Yeah. And one could argue that the two previous years before the last two mm-hmm. with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens had pretty bad injury luck. So it all kind of, you know, it all kind of evens out over the course of time. So
yeah, and we can't make a projection on 25 based on that. That question did come up, is because the Ravens did better in 23 and 24 in terms of injuries, should we take that to be a procedural difference, that they've made changes that are appropriate that are going to keep them healthier in 25? I think you probably could make a case that they might be, on average, slightly above average relative to the rest of the league. I don't think you can expect the average of the last 2 years for their luck to be that good.
No, it has been admittedly very, very good the past 2 years. Like I said, after the previous two with Lamar being hurt. So you definitely can't assume that it's going to be like that. But again, I think in case of somebody here or there, I think they have the other pieces to pick up the slack.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to remember our Darius Washington is already lost. Emory Jones may be lost already. They said he might get back for camp. We get there in 2 weeks from today, and I'll be really interested to see if he's on the field. I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting this thing to linger and him to try and practice with the team at some point during the year, but basically to be a non-factor this year.
Yeah, that would definitely hurt in the depth department a little bit there if he couldn't make it, or at least maybe started the year on PUP or something.
All right. So, on one side, we're trying to determine, do the odds really reflect the Ravens' true chance of winning? And I think that's what you're trying to do in terms of making the bet. There are a lot of reasons why, from a mathematical perspective, from the way I would look at it, a futures bet is not a good idea, period. There's a lot of inherent load in a or vig in a futures bet. I'd like to explain some of that If we can take a few minutes on that. If you, I must, do you have additional things to say about the team itself?
No, go right ahead. I'm here to learn.
Okay. So the first thing I do is when I look at a futures line, I look at an aggregate line. What do I mean by an aggregate line? I go at the odds checker and I put in the best line from any of approximately 20 online books for each team. All right. It doesn't matter who offers it. You could have an account with anybody, but you're going to go out and shop for the best price, just like you would on any other product you're buying. And when I look at that, I find the odds of decimal odds. Now, this is essentially the odds plus one. It's the amount you get on your winning ticket at the end. So you bet $100, you get $800 back on the Ravens, for example. So the decimal odds are 8 on the Ravens. But anyway, really quickly, I'll run them down. Baltimore 8, Philadelphia 8, Buffalo 8.5, Kansas City 9.5, Detroit 12, Washington 19, big gap there. San Francisco 21, Cincinnati 23, the Rams 23, Green Bay 28, the Chargers 31, Minnesota 31, Houston 41, Denver 41, Chicago 41, Tampa Bay 41, Pittsburgh 41, Dallas 67. Seattle 67, New England 81, Atlanta 81, Arizona 81, Jacksonville 101, Indianapolis 126, Miami 126, Carolina 151, Las Vegas 151, the New York Jets 201, Tennessee 201, the Giants 251, the Browns 301, and the Saints 501. So you'll notice all those numbers are kind of one more, because it's like 100 to 1 is 101 is the amount you get returned at the end. If you divide those decimal odds, you take one and you divide by the decimal odds number, you get the implied odds with vig, meaning the vig is included in that number. So if I take 1/8, for example, for the Ravens, I get 12.5%. Now, is that the real odds of them winning it? Well, no, because the odds get crowded out by the other teams. So what do I mean by that? If I add up that implied odds on every team, I get 109.1%. Now, Paul and I were talking in the production meeting. That's actually quite a low number, lower than what I'm used to for an aggregate futures line to start the year. I would expect that to be 115 to 130, maybe in that range. Loaded up pretty heavily. The fewer books that are involved, the more it's going to be loaded up with a lot of online books. They're competing against each other, first of all, to give a better price. So you have that, but they're also have differences of opinion on who the stronger team is. And they allow that to flow through into their own numbers to a limited degree. So at 109.1, then I have to basically divide everybody's implied odds with vig by 1.091 to get their implied odds without the vig. It's called factoring out the vig. That's what I do. When I do that, Baltimore and Philadelphia both down to 11.5% chance to win the Super Bowl. So that's what I referred to earlier. A little better than 1-9, still not as good as 1-8. Okay. So that's step number one. Now there are a few other pitfalls with a futures bet. We've been on some of this. We've been on with the tax show recently, but we'll talk about a few. The first is time value of money. I'm going to place that bet, or Paul, you're considering placing that bet on, let's say, August 1st, right? Before everything's known about, you know, there could be some injuries in camp, things could start to happen. But if you place it on August 1 and you expect to be paid, or maybe you place it on September 1st, because the math's going to be easier, and you expect to be paid on March 1st, after the Super Bowl is paid, but not immediately after, you know, as soon as you can get the transaction made after the Super Bowl. That's a 6-month wait for you to get their money that your counterparty has your money and can earn a float on it, earn a return on that money. So for starters, that's not a good thing. And in fact, online casinos make a lot of their money off the float. In fact, the poker sites have a term for that. They basically want you to leave your money in their economy. So they make it very difficult for you to cash out. It's easy to get money in. It's much harder to get money out. And it's not to say that they don't want to pay it, but they basically want you to continue to shoot craps or play poker with your friends, with them taking a cut, a rake as you go along, and then all that time, they're earning a float on what in aggregate is millions, if not billions of dollars. And they can make a very nice business just doing that. And it is a nice big bonus for the online books that do sports betting, that they have significant account balances in aggregate that you've chosen to give to them and hold for them. And are you earning an interest on that?
No, okay. I'm losing money on that. I'm not earning. I'm losing money on that.
And it'd be an interesting thing. I mean, the first book that says, hey, you know what? We're going to credit 2% interest on your money. We know we're holding your money. That would be a huge attractive thing to people who are putting money in. They're like, okay, I lost some money, but I earned some interest on. Really, it was okay. So that's the first thing, is the time value of money is often not considered. It's never more important than in a futures bet. We're not in a time in American history right now where the time value of money is zero. It's been higher, certainly, at previous times. But if you look back to the pandemic, we had interest rates basically at zero. And that was a fine time. And you look back earlier times as well. We've had some times where the time value of money has been zero, so much so that banks don't even want their customers anymore, because they have to basically pay them a float on what otherwise be a negative interest environment. Not to get too deep into that, but that's the time value of money is not something to be taken lightly on a futures bet where you have to wait that long.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you really think about it, the float.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything, from stress to sleepless nights, with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That these places have at any given time has to be just astronomical.
Yep.
Astronomical. And every minute that money's sitting there, they're making money on it. So,
I'm trying to think, like, what would be the perfect business to be directly working with an online casino? When I'm thinking, you know, a credit card company would be ideal. I don't know how online casinos are required to reserve for their money. That's something actuaries worry about with life insurance. We have to hold the present value of a death benefit, effectively, less the present value of future premiums, at any given time, under some fairly tight conditions to prove that we're solvent enough to pay claims in the future. I don't know what the rules are for an online book. I mean, if there's a run on the bank, they better have the money, but I don't think they have to hold it all. And it seems like the business that could do very well with that is somebody who's doing lending. Like if you're doing auto lending, or if you're doing credit card lending, or whatever it might be, that would be kind of the perfect business to run alongside a casino. Now, I don't know if that, there may be a logistical holdups that doesn't really work, but you have a lot of money that you're basically not paying any float on. Wouldn't it be nice if you could also earn money lending that to somebody else at the same time?
And earn money at a pretty high clip on those type of loans.
There you go. So it certainly could be done. The second thing is something that a lot of online casinos are known for, and particularly this is a problem with offshore books, is the slow pay / no pay risk. Now, the no pay risk is not zero. Online books go up belly up and you lose your money. And if you do lose your money, you're probably going to lose all the money you have in your account, or it's going to be very difficult and you're going to have to spend money to try and get it back. It can be a real tremendous pain in the ass if a book goes under. And especially if you have $200, I mean, the typical person is just going to say, oh, crap, I lost $200 on that nag of a company that I put money in with. But other companies, they'll have kind of a loaning money from one pocket to the other situation where they want to pay you, but they don't quite have the cash on hand to do it currently. So they have to wait for fresh deposits. And then it ends up looking a little bit like a Ponzi scheme, where they're going to slow pay you with somebody else's money and then hope that that person loses the balance that they have. It's not attractive, but these places have their own expenses to pay. They're dealing with that money, and you just hope you're not loaning a non-credit worthy counterparty, making your bet with a non-credit worthy counterparty. That kind of thing scares the hell out of me with an online book. It wouldn't scare me with DraftKings, but there are other new concerns there. Have you had any experience, by the way, with slow pay, no pay books?
I was just about to tell you, I have had experiences. So back in the day when online poker was actually legal, there was a lot of that going on. And I got in one situation where I was trying to cash out a decent amount of money, and it was the whole slow play excuse after this. Now, luckily, I knew somebody who knew somebody who had been dealing with them at a higher level than I was at, and I got it done. But that was very common, especially back in the day when it was a little more of the wild, wild west as far as that's concerned. But like you said, with a DraftKings or a FanDuel or something like that, I'd be less concerned. But there are a lot of them still out there that kind of play that game.
Right. Now, we'll get to the next issue, which is taxes. All right. Now, a lot of people on the dollars that they bet, if they're betting $5, $10 either way, there may not be any record of that is made available to the government. And they may just say, okay, I'm not going to pay taxes. I would not encourage people to do that, by the way. I'd encourage you just pay taxes normally, which probably means don't bet under a lot of these circumstances, that it's generally not worth it, which I know I'm the ultimate wet blanket. And I'm coming up from a position where I've done a lot of gambling effectively at a professional level. I even considered doing it instead of being an actuary a number of years ago. And it's something that I can't imagine that I'd have gotten to this point, but the new rules basically, as well as the asymmetric taxes, which have been there for years, are just such a problem that it's hard to overcome. Let me understand the two components of that I'm talking about. The first, which has always been present, is asymmetric taxes. If you play for a lot of money, you can't hide from it. Okay, you're not going to get away with not declaring your winnings, and you shouldn't try. Just follow tax law. It's the easiest way to make your life easy. But with asymmetric taxes in the United States, your winnings are fully taxed, and if you have a losing year, you don't gain any value from that. There's no carry forward. Now, compare that to a stock holding. If you lose money and let's say you sell your stock each year on December 31st and rebuy it, you have a loss and a gain in consecutive years. You get to carry forward that loss. And while there's some time value money lost, you'd have a gain then a loss to have a net zero and have a time value of money loss. But anyway, my point is that you get to hold on to that loss and use it at a future date. Gambling losses don't work that way. The only way you're allowed to do that in the United States is to be declared as a self-employed gambler. And once you do that, you are viewed with a jaundiced eye, as it's often been said in books. The IRS will look at you with that. So you've heard me use that term with like 40 times at a pro day or anything like that. I mean, it's just, I don't believe them, basically. That's how the IRS will treat you immediately if you file as a self-employed gambler. They won't believe what you're saying. They'll basically, you're at additional risk of audit, all of those things that go with that. So the asymmetric taxes situation, even for very good gamblers, is an enormous problem, because if you're an actuary like me and your gambling is only a sidelight to your primary job, your negative years will hurt. And so you really have to play to basically try and make at least a small profit every year, which means you have to basically reduce the stakes you're willing to play for and bet a lot, get into the long run as quickly as possible. And it basically means you're really working really hard to get your hours in and make sure you have a positive result. It is a difficult task indeed. I can tell you that. So asymmetric taxation, big problem in the United States.
Yeah, with as hard as it is to make a profit anyway.
Yes.
when you add that in there, it just makes it even harder. You know what I mean? So it's not like it's easy to win, period. And then when you factor in that whole, you know, situation, and it just, you know, you'd start doing the math and it's pretty unappealing as far as long-term goes.
Yeah. And that is, I respect out there, there's a lot of people, they don't gamble for the reasons I gamble. They gamble for fun. You know, they gamble because it's a diversion. You gamble because you want to, you know, have some ownership in a victory at the end of a game or in some particular position you took on a fantasy football bet or whatever. I completely understand that. Do what you want. Go for the bragging rights with your friends. All that's fine. If you're betting big money, I'd really advise you at least think about this when you're doing it. I don't think there's a reason otherwise, just for the charge, to bet a lot of money, even with, at this point now, a pretty significant advantage. And I'm going to get into the reason why now. The new tax law has and this is the big, beautiful bill from Trump, has a provision in it that effectively makes all winnings reportable and taxable fully, but losses only deductible at 90%. Now, nobody can tell you what that means right now. No one can tell you how that means. And why is that difficult? Well, the reason it's difficult is because if I'm sitting at a blackjack table over the course of an entire year, I'll make probably hundreds of thousands of bets. Okay. And if I'm sitting there in 3 weeks of blackjack play during a year, I'll make thousands of bets in terms of what I'm doing. But, you know, I can't possibly keep a record of that on a bet by bet basis, even though my handle might be, millions of dollars in each direction. Okay. So I keep any record I've got is at the session level. And I guarantee you that the house doesn't have anything more than that. The individual casinos don't have anything more than that on me, is a record of the individual session wagers. Sports betting is a little different. Now, they're out there now. It is possible, I believe, to get your cash flow report where it tells you, you know, it can list out probably, in fact, every single win and every single loss you've had. Right, Paul?
Yeah, I can pull up my gambling account now and I can go back and I can see years worth of bets, profits, losses, what I've won, what I've lost, the whole nine. So it's much easier to track that than it would be hands of blackjack, you know, like you were saying.
Right. Or even sessions and you know, and then another question will come up. Well, do you mean the session level or do you mean the trip level? Because I can literally buy in for chips at any casino in Las Vegas, and I can take them from casino to casino, and usually they'll change them up for the next casino's chips. When did I actually have a result? Did I have a result at the end of the trip? Does it matter? I mean, if I'm not keeping records the entire trip, does it matter that anything other than pocket in, pocket out at the end of the trip? I think that you would get different opinions of that from tax advisors. And I just would encourage people to be careful, because I think 2026, when this new tax law goes into effect, is going to be a very bad year to be gambling. a very bad year to be gambling, and particularly if you want to bet for any significant money.
Yeah, typically my bets would fall in the fun for the most part category. I kind of love placing what I call an insurance bet, and that is if there is a big game, you know, bet on the other team, and if we win, great, and I'll lose the money, and if we don't, then hey, at least I'll win some money. So, but yeah, any level I'm referring to is mainly for fun. You know what I mean? Nothing professionally on that level.
Okay, so emotional hedge bets, and I can completely understand that. So I want to give two examples here. The first is one where you're just talking about the asymmetry of taxes that I mentioned earlier and what the impact is on the wager you're actually making. So I'm Ken McCusick. I make one bet in all of 2026, and it's on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. And, or it's on, let's say it's on the Ravens to win one game that they might win. I want it to be an even money win because the math is easier. So it's on one even money bet. So I'm going to put up $10,000 on this single bet. If I win it, I win $10,000, but then that's not the end of it because I won $10,000. That's taxable. I'm going to use a 30% marginal tax rate. Now, most people be at the federal level, they'd be maybe the 22% tax bracket, but then you bump that up for state and local taxes, which apply in this case, easy enough to get to 30%. And my actual win is only $7,000 on that bet. If I lose, I lose $10,000. So that's another 10-7 odds I just gave the house in terms of the bet. And I don't care if the house is the government or the house is the casino. That's too much to give away. So that asymmetry of taxes, that's where you really get bitten in the ass by that.
Right.
So just want to have one example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, when you start factoring all these other factors, you know, that you wouldn't quite think about right off the top when you think, oh, I think the Ravens have a great team and, you know, they got a good shot to win a Super Bowl. When you start doing the math and you start factoring this, the odds don't quite look as good.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to, you know, actually make some money, you know, versus just have some fun.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this of people, you know, when lotto jackpot will get really big and then somebody will buy every single combination occasionally to try and make sure. And I'm thinking about, does that work after taxes? Because it's going to be an enormous tax bill. These people are going to, you know, even if they claim that it's owned by a syndicate of, you know, 300 people or whatever, it's just going to be incredibly taxed. They, you know, in the end, I can't believe that people are really able to make money on that. I'm sure they've done the math if they're looking at it, but it's one of these things that just seems really strange.
Yeah, I saw a documentary one time where they had people doing that. I forget exactly what the scheme was, but it was something to that effect where they were winning and they were doing it a lot.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Was this actually like a drama, like a movie drama about people going to one particular state in one particular instance if the jackpot got to a certain level, right?
I think it was state to state. They were doing it all over the place. And I can't remember exactly how they did it, but they had it figured out to where they were winning a lot.
Okay.
But they eventually got figured out.
And they had to go around to multiple locations and buy thousands and thousands of tickets, right?
Yep. Yeah. That was it.
Okay. Yeah. I think we saw the same thing. I wish I could remember the name of that, but it was good stuff. Okay, I'm going to go to a second example here, and that is that we don't assume we win the bet or lose the bet. Ken McCusick makes two bets in 2026, and he wins one for $10,000 and loses another for $10,000. And now we look at the new Trump tax law here and see just what a spear in the ass it is. It's basically an impaling for gamblers here. But you win the $10,000 bet, you win $10,000, you lose the $10,000 bet. You lose $10,000, so you got a net of zero. But then, oh crap! No, there's this 90-10 thing. So, I created $1,000 of taxable income from the difference between my $10,000 win and the $9,000 of deductible value of my loss. So that on that $1,000, I'm going to pay $300 in taxes, and for breaking even, I pay another 3%, actually 1.5% of my total wagers to the government. Now, I already hate the fact that the House has a, you know, that 1/21st advantage over me on football betting. This just added another 1.5 points to that. I mean, that's it's freaking ridiculous. And I fortunately, the thing is, as written, is completely unenforceable in terms of what it'll be. I know poker players are concerned about their future over this, and you know they can't possibly be professional poker players if they've got this hanging over their head. You know, any kind of professional sports player is going to think the same thing, basically, if their transactional level, if the level that has to be reported is the individual wager. So this is a very significant change in outlook. And I know the temptation, and Paul, you're not the only person who brought this up to me. A lot of people think the Ravens have an outstanding chance to win the Super Bowl, and they do. I'm convinced of that. We're nowhere near the point where I would consider putting up a significant wager on this because of the uncertainty around the tax law and all the other asymmetry of what's going on. It's just, I can't make that make sense to me.
Yeah, it's almost like the government wanted to throw their vig on top too and take their little cut out of the pie. So interesting to say the least.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Paul, I appreciate you coming on and suffering through some of the math here. I know a lot of people, you really want to hear about what the Ravens' chance is to win the Super Bowl. We'll be covering that. I promise you, we'll be covering that all year on this show. You know, in some ways, looking at futures bets right now is always kind of an exciting. It's worth the discussion. This should deserve the same level of attention and probably the same level of wager as it does when the lotto hits, you know, 30 million, 40 million, whatever it would be. And you want to be around the water cooler. You want to talk about what your dreams, what you're going to do with the money. That's the real value of the thing. And we have the best team in football, I would argue, to have that fun with right now. But putting money on it is not going to make it better, I'm afraid. It's just not a...
There's no guarantees. You know what I mean? As good as they are, as deep as they are sounded, there are far from any guarantees in anything, you know what I mean, as far as that's concerned. It's such a long road and so many hurdles to cross on the way to the Super Bowl. It's a million different things that can go wrong. You know what I mean? And everything's kind of got to go right for you to win.
Yep. All right, Paul, always a pleasure to talk football with you. And in this case, to talk a little gambling. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
On Twitter, at Lamar vs. Allen, purple Kool-Aid drinker. Hit me up, follow me. I'm there all the time.
All right. If you remember Paul's voice, he's been on a couple of pods recently. The Derrick Henry contract was one, but an outstanding series of, I think it was four shows originally, about how the Ravens could restructure most of their third-year players. Just an outstanding series of show. And Paul did a lot of work to look into how would he structure these contracts. Very well done, very well thought out, and really appreciate having you on there. That was earlier this offseason. I forget exactly what the title was, but you certainly will be able to find it if you look for him there. His old handle on Twitter was at the NFL analyst, by the way, if you're looking for, to link him up with who you knew before. Correct. If you're out there and you'd like to be on a short like Paul here, please hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. And this is the last few days we have to do this. Once the season starts, I'll have an occasional chance to do a short once every week, once every two on the bye week. But once we get into camp, it is a slog. There's 25 practices that it looks like they're open to the media. I got my calendar yesterday, and it's going to be quite a lot of effort. I'll certainly have notes on those practices for you that I'll post on the site. Paul, thanks again for coming on.
No problem then, Ken. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big.